For much of American history, race has been black culture's issue. Racism, a black person's burden. Or substitute any person of color for black, and you've got the same problem. Whiteness, however, has remained constant. In the equation of race, another metaphor for race beckons. Whiteness is the unchanging variable. Or, to shift metaphors, whiteness has been, to pinch Amiri Baraka's resonant phrase, the changing same, a highly adaptable and fluid force that stays on top no matter where it lands. In a sense, whiteness is at once the means of dominance, the end to which dominance points, and the point of dominance too, which in its purest form, in its greatest fantasy, never ends. To be sure, like the rest of race, whiteness is a fiction. What in the jargon of the academy is termed a social construct, an agreed-on myth that has empirical grit because of its effect, not its essence. But whiteness goes even one better. It is a category of identity that is most useful when its very existence is denied. That's its twisted genius. Whiteness embodies Charles Baudelaire's admonition that the loveliest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. Or, as an alter ego of the character Kaiser Soze says in the film The Usual Suspects, the greatest trick the devil ever played was to convince the world that he didn't exist. The devil. Racism. Another metaphor. Same difference. Robin DiAngelo is here to announce, in the words of evangelicals and rappers Rick Ross and Jay-Z, the devil is a lie. Whiteness, like race, may not be true. It's not a biologically heritable characteristic that has roots in physiological structures or in genes or chromosomes. But it is real, in the sense that societies and rights and goods and resources and privileges have been built on its foundation. DiAngelo brilliantly names a whiteness that doesn't want to be named, disrobes a whiteness that dresses in camouflage as humanity, unmasks a whiteness costumed as American, and fetches to center stage a whiteness that would rather hide in visible invisibility. It is not enough to be a rhetorician and a semiotician to deconstruct and demythologize whiteness. One must be a magician of the political and the social, an alchemist of the spiritual and psychological too. One must wave off racist stereotypes and conjure a rich history of combating white supremacy and white privilege and white lies, a history that has often been buried deep in the dark, rich, black American soil. DiAngelo knows that what she is saying to white folk in this book is what so many black folks have thought and believed and said over the years, but couldn't be heard because white ears were too sensitive, white souls too fragile. DiAngelo joins the front ranks of white anti-racist thinkers with a stirring call to conscience, and most important, consciousness in her white brothers and sisters. White fragility is a truly generative idea. It is a crucial concept that inspires us to think more deeply about how white folk understand their whiteness and react defensively to being called to account for how that whiteness has gone under the radar of race for far too long. DiAngelo is wise and withering in her relentless assault on what Langston Hughes termed the ways of white folks. But she is clear-eyed and unsentimental in untangling the intertwined threads of social destiny and political prescription that bind white identity to moral neutrality and cultural universality. DiAngelo bravely challenges the collapse of whiteness into national identity. No less an authority than Beyoncé Knowles recently remarked, "It has been said that racism is so American that when we protest racism, some assume we're protesting America." DiAngelo